I want to preach a Thanksgiving message this morning. You might say, how can you get a Thanksgiving message out of the scripture that Adam read a moment ago from Luke chapter 24? I've come over the years to realize that most people are not thankful because, or the people that are not thankful because they don't stop and realize what they have. And this morning I want to tell you the story of two men that didn't realize what they had. And then encourage you, as we did in that first song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One, to stop and realize what God has given us and to be thankful for that. I want to read a few more verses from Luke chapter 24. You don't need to turn your Bibles to them, but I want to read starting in verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Two disciples making the 7-mile walk or journey from Jerusalem down to Emmaus. It's a Sunday afternoon, Sunday evening. Don't know exactly what time it was, but it was the same Sunday that our Savior arose from the dead. Now, these two men were not two of the 12. They may have been two of the 70 that Jesus sent out to preach when he sent them out two by two. But they were involved in deep conversation. They were talking about the things that had happened the last few days. They'd been talking about the trial and the crucifixion of their master, Jesus of Nazareth. They had heard reports earlier in the day that some of the apostles and some of the ladies that traveled with Jesus had gone to the tomb, and the tomb was empty. And they didn't know what was going on. They were sad and sorrowful by the crucifixion and the events that had happened. And suddenly a stranger comes upon them, and he asked, and we didn't read these verses, but he drew near and went unto them, and they didn't know who he was. And in verse 17, where we left off in verse 16, verse 17, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? Jesus said, what are you talking about? You look like you're sad. You look like you're sorrowful. Why? And these two disciples said to him, you must be a stranger in Jerusalem. You don't know what's going on about how concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And they said, but we trusted that he should have been redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. And then they said, certain women of our company went to the grave, and the grave is empty. And as they walked with this one, they did not know who he was. They did not realize that they were talking to the very one that they were sorrowful about. They missed it because they did not realize who he was and what they had on that journey that they made. That stranger that talked to them was the Lord of life. That stranger was the one that very morning that had left Joseph's tomb. That stranger was the one that very morning led death and hell into captivity, defeating both. He was the creator of all things. That's who the one that was walking with him. He was the giver of life. He was the one that had given life to everything that was in this world. And they did not realize they were sad and sorrowful about a dead person that was no longer dead. He was walking with them, life embodied, and they did not realize what they had. The Bible says that he began in the scriptures, began at Moses, and in all the scriptures, he went through the scriptures, and he related to them the scriptures that talked about himself, that talked about Jesus. Now, we're not given any record, but I like to use my imagination sometimes as I study the Bible. And I wondered to myself, and just share with you, some of the scriptures I think Jesus might have shared with them that day as they took this walk. I think he might have went back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15 and reminded them that even back in the Garden of Eden that God had promised Adam and Eve that the serpent would bruise the heel of the Savior, but the Savior would bruise the head of the serpent. I think he probably went back to the verse in Exodus, where God had promised, I will send another prophet like Moses. And this one who walked with them and shared the scripture was that prophet that scripture was talking about. I'm sure he went back to Isaiah 53 and reminded them what the prophet said, that the Son of God would come and would be bruised for our iniquities, and with his stripes we are healed. And they did not know, they did not realize that the one who walked with them was the one that did that on the cross 3 days ago. Perhaps he went to Isaiah chapter 7 and reminded them that a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child, and that child will be the Messiah. And the one that was walking with him, who they did not realize who they had in that stranger, was that child born of a virgin, was that Messiah. Perhaps he went back to Daniel and said, 70 weeks after the temple would be rebuilt, the Messiah would come. Perhaps he went back to Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, where the Bible tells us that that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. He went back and he looked at all the promises, starting at Moses and all throughout the Old Testament, and reminded them what the Bible had said about this one who was going to be the Savior. Reminded them of what the Bible said about this one who was going to be Messiah. Perhaps he went back to Exodus where Moses told the people, hey, take a lamb and kill it and put the blood on the doorpost of the door. And that night the death angel came through and passed over every house that had the blood on the doorpost. And he said, you remember when Jesus came? Because he wasn't revealed to him yet. He said, you remember when Jesus came? How John the Baptist introduced him as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Do you remember that's what the Bible said about him? The Bible says, as they talked to each other after he had revealed himself unto them, said our hearts burned within us. We didn't know who he was. We didn't realize what we had. He was walking and talking with them. The King of Kings, the King of Israel, the King of Glory, the King forever, the King of Hosts, the King of Heaven. They felt something on the inside as he was talking to them. They did not know what it was because they did not realize what they had. They were talking to Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was a stone cut without hands, the Lamb of God, the way, the truth, the life, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection, the bread of life, the living water, the light of the world, the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. They were talking to the Son of Man, the Son of God, the fairest of 10,000, the altogether lovely, the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Rock of Ages, the I Am, the one who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. That's who was walking with them. That's who was talking to them. That's the one who made their hearts burn within them. But they didn't understand. They didn't know what was going on because they did not know who he was. They did not realize what they had. They were talking to the one that had been crucified. They were talking to the one that came out of the tomb that very morning. Sometimes we wish we could go back to characters in the Bible. We could grab hold of their shoulders and shake them and say, hey, don't you realize who you're talking to? Don't you realize this, who this one is walking with you down this road to Emmaus? It's Jesus. It's the Son of God. It's the resurrected Christ. Wake up and realize what you have. and be thankful. He's not dead. He's alive. And I want to say to all of you that are here this morning that maybe think God is dead. Say, I don't believe God is dead. I believe God is God. Well, do you think he still works today? You still think he can save people today? You still think he knows what's going on in your life today? You still think he controls the circumstances of your life today? The providence of God is alive and well in right now. God is not dead. He is still the God of the Old Testament. He is still the God of the New Testament. He still works today. He wants to save you. He wants to help you in your life. And don't you think for a minute that God doesn't, don't you sit back and think, well, God doesn't know what's going on in my life. I'm just a small, insignificant person, and the God of all creation and the God that holds the world together, he's too busy to care about me. I want to tell you this morning, no, he's not. Every single one of us are special to God. Every single one of us, he knows what's going on in our life, and he cares. He cares. Realize what you have. We have a God that's alive. Now, I think there are people here this morning that are cut out of the same cloth as these two guys. You think the same way as these two guys. You, today, don't realize what you have. And if you realize, if you could just get a hold of what you have, I wouldn't have to remind you to be thankful at Thanksgiving time. You wouldn't wait till Thanksgiving to be thankful. If we would just realize what we had, we would be thankful every moment of our life. Let me just remind you of some things. Some of these are simple, and I'll get to some things that in a minute that aren't so simple. But you got up out of bed this morning. You got up. I can take you to places I've been the last 4 or 5 weeks visiting different people in our church and introduce you to person after person after person after person that would say, I wish I could do what you did this morning. I wish I could just get up and get out of bed. There are people in hospitals that have been there for a long time. There are people in rest homes that have been there for a long time, and they could not get out of bed this morning. And you and I did. You and I did. We need to be thankful for that. We need to praise God for that. I'll tell you what, if the invariable happens pretty soon, you and I are going to get old. And we may be in that same position. There may come a day in our life that unless somebody helps us, we won't be able to get out of bed. I'll tell you what, I'm going to realize what I got, and I want you to realize what you got. When you get out of bed tomorrow morning and your feet go down on the floor, praise God. I mean, when you're laying in that bed and the alarm goes off, Bruce! And you reach over and slap it and it goes off again, Bruce! And you reach over again and slap it. I don't care. I don't have time to tell you how many times some of you slap it. But when you get up and you put your feet on the ground and you're able to stand up and get out of bed without anybody's help, you look to heaven and you say, thank you, God. Thank you for giving me the strength. Thank you for giving me the ability to get out of bed. Because there are thousands of people that we could find just in this area, let alone probably hundreds of thousands, millions around the world that would be thankful to do what we did this morning. You were able to get dressed. You were able to get in a car or a truck, and you were able to come to church. There were thousands of people this morning that wish they could do that. They're confined. They may be able to get out of bed, but they can't get out of the house. They don't have any way to get to church. They don't have any way to do the same thing that you and I did this morning and we'll do tomorrow morning and we'll do the next morning and we'll do the next morning. Not only are we able to get out of bed, but we're able to get dressed and we're able to go out and get in a car or a truck or some other means of conveyance and we're able to go wherever we want to go and get wherever we want to get. Now you listen to me say, "Preacher, man, these are simple things." But you know what? If we're not simple for this, if we're not thankful for the simple things, we'll never be thankful for the big things. That's where gratitude starts. Don't wait until God does something big in your life to start being thankful. You won't know how to do it the right way. Yeah, you can say thank you for the big things, but listen, if we start practicing with the little things and realize what God gives us every single day, then when the big things come, we'll be able to praise Him and thank Him in a rightful way. You got out of bed. You're able to get out of the house. You got to come to church. You got to come to Sunday school, where a teacher opened the Bible and taught you from the Word of God. You got to come to this place and sing. I mean, you got to sing. You got to open a hymn book and lift your voice to God and sing. You got to give a moment ago when the offering plate was passed. And so many people, even people here this morning, you take it for granted. You got up this morning and say, "Well, just another Sunday. I guess I better go to church since it's Sunday." You didn't wake up with the excitement and say, "Boy, it's Sunday. I get to go to church today. I get to sing, and I get to sit in the Sunday school class, and I get to give my..." No, well, I guess I better go. You know, it's Sunday. If I'm not there, the preacher or somebody may come looking for me and ask me where I was. I don't have a good excuse. I guess I better go. Most of you didn't even come to Sunday school. Some of you, a minute ago when we were singing, you didn't even crack a book. Some of you gave and some of you didn't. And some of you are sitting there right now and your mind is 1,000 miles away thinking about something else. I want to remind you this morning, there are hundreds of thousands, probably millions of people around the world that would give all they have to do exactly what you're doing right now. To be able to get up, to be able to get out, to be able to come to a church and to hear the Bible taught without worrying about somebody coming in and arresting them. To come to a place like this where it's warm, maybe a little bit too warm for some of you, but a place that is warm, a place where the gospel is going to be preached, a place where we sing gospel songs, a place where we worship the God in heaven, the God of gods and Lord of lords and King of kings. And yet, you are sitting there this morning, not realizing what you have. Not thankful to God for the privilege that He gives us to come to this place. Hey, you get to fellowship this morning. I love it when we shake hands. I love it when people go around and hug and shake hands and tell each other how glad they are to see each other. You realize? And maybe some of you don't know, but as I look around the auditorium, I see families. I mean families. Grandpas and grandmas, moms and dads, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. In fact, one of the grandmas this morning was telling me, she said, "I had to cut back on my Christmas list." I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "I got so many great-grandchildren, I can't afford them anymore." But you know what? We have a church where there are extended families. There's 2, 3, 4 generations. Now I'll tell you, that's unusual. You need to enjoy it while you got it. There's going to come a time when Grandpa and Grandma ain't going to be there. There's going to come a time. Dave and Pam were telling me this morning, I didn't know it, their daughter Marcia and their son-in-law Don, They're in Dubai. Don had to go over there for his job. And Dave and Pam, instead of going to Florida for the winter, they're going to Dubai to spend the winter with Marcia told them, "I'll only go, Mom and Dad, if you come and visit me in the winter." And so they agreed to that. And they're going to get to see her this winter, but they don't get to see her today. And they didn't get to see her last week. You got to see your grandchild today. You got to see your great-grandchild today. You got to see your mom and dad today. You got to see your grandpa and grandma, your great-grandpa and grandma today. You listen to me, you better be thankful. You better realize what you have. You better praise God for it. Because it always won't be that way. Realize what you got. Number five, you get to hear about Jesus today. You get to hear about Jesus today. You know what? The Bible says that we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I started talking to Austin, and when I took him back over here in this room, I said, Austin, do you know that you're a sinner? He said, I know I'm a sinner. I said, what did you do that makes you a sinner? He said, sometimes I beat up people. I said, you do? Really? I said, you know, that makes you a sinner. And you know what the Bible says? Because of that sin, we have to be separated from God. Just like God in the Garden of Eden kicked Adam and Eve out, who he made, who he loved, because they disobeyed him, they had to be separated. A holy God cannot tolerate sin. And when we choose to be a sinner, and by the way, every single person that's here this morning that's a sinner chose to be a sinner. Satan didn't sneak up on you one day and put something in front of you and tempt you to sin, and you by accident sinned. That's not the way it worked. You became a sinner that first time in your life that you realized that there was a right answer and a wrong answer, a right way to go and a wrong way to go, a godly way to go or an ungodly way to go, and you chose on purpose to go the ungodly way. You chose on purpose the wrong answer. You chose on purpose, not God. That made you a sinner. And the Bible says the wages of sin is to be separated from the one who made us, the one who loved us. I told Austin that. I said, Austin, but you know what? God loved us so much. So much. The Bible couldn't describe how much, so it uses that little word so. So much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved us and sent Jesus to die in our place. The crucifixion that Kelly sang about, the crucifixion that these men were talking about that day on the road to Emmaus, was when the Son of God took all of my sin and took all of your sin and put it on himself and went to Calvary and died in our place. Amen. And like Kelly sang about a moment ago, when God the Father looked down from heaven and he saw his Son and he saw the sin of every single person heaped on his Son, the Bible said he had to turn his back on Jesus. First time in all eternity that the Father and the Son were separated. First time in all eternity that the Father's face didn't look toward the Son. And Jesus cried out from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he knew the answer. Jesus knew the answer to the question before he asked it. He knew that when he took the sin of all of us on himself, that he had to suffer the price for our sin. And the price for our sin is to be separated from God. And on the cross, he suffered our hell for us because he was separated from the Father. God loved us. That's why he did that. And then the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're here today and you're a sinner because one day you on purpose chose to do wrong, you need to realize that there's a penalty for that sin. You need to realize that Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, paid the penalty for that sin. And this morning, I don't care who you are, I don't care how many times you've been here, if you're lost, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to call on him. You need to say, dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner because I've done something wrong. I know what it is. I could name it for you. And I believe what the preacher says, that the penalty for that sin is to be apart from you. I don't want to be apart from you. I want you to be my Savior. And I ask you right now to be my Savior. And the Bible promises us that if we'll call upon Him, He'll save us and forgive us from all our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousnesses. Now you listen to me. I'm done. I'm just about done. Just a couple more minutes. You listen to me. You could this morning say, hey, not today, preacher. I sort of believe what you're saying, but not today. I didn't come ready to get saved. And you can this morning get up from these pews in just a minute and you can walk out that door rejecting Christ. But let me tell you something. There may come a day where you look back to this service, November the 18th, 2007, and you may say, I didn't realize what I had. I didn't realize that that was going to be the last chance that I would have to hear the gospel. I didn't realize that that was the easiest time in my life to get saved. Because I'll tell you what, if you say no today, if you get to hear the gospel again, it'll be harder next time. And it'll be harder the next time. Because you see, your heart, it begins to grow a callus. You say no to Jesus today, it'll be easier. It'll be easier to say no the next time. And easier the time after that. And there may come a time in your life, you say, I didn't realize what I had. I didn't realize that that service before Thanksgiving in 2007 was the easiest time that I had in my life to ask Jesus to be my Savior. I don't know about you, but if I was lost this morning, if I didn't know Jesus as my Savior, when we start singing in just a minute, I'd be the first one to the altar. I'd tell the preacher, whoever he was, I need to get saved right now. You do that this morning, either I'll tell you or I'll get somebody to tell you, one of our men or one of our ladies. They'll take the Bible and show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Please realize what you have this morning. This particular service will never happen again. You will never get the same chance that you have right now to get saved. Will you do it this morning? We ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the opportunity that you give us this morning. Thank you, Father, for helping us to realize what we have. Many here this morning have asked Jesus to be their Savior. Many here this morning realize that we have a home in heaven that awaits us. We have a God that watches over us every single day. But Father, I got to believe in a congregation this size that there's some here that have no idea of what I'm talking about. There's some here that have never asked Jesus to be their Savior. Father, I pray this morning that today would be the day.